Here he is, episode one of this week, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. We love him. He's presented by Bill Curry Ford. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Bill Curry Ford is there for you 24/7 at BillCurryFord.com. And GM Sean Sullivan, Ira's good friend, is ready to help you personally. That means personally, like he's your best buddy, at Bill Curry Ford in the showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, or you can reach out to Sean online. He's going to give you the Ira Kaufman discount, and he's just going to give you the service you really wish you had at any dealership because he cares about Bucks fans. He's friends of ours. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan. Check him out today. Get there this weekend. So many great offers going on right now. Visit BillCurryFord.com. Now, we've got a very unique podcast today. Sage was out at $1. It's been a busy week of minicamp, and we decided to split things up a little bit. So for this first episode of this week, you've got Ira on location with Lee DeCamper, the other Joe at JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz, and they are chopping it up after day one of minicamp, and we're going to take you directly to them. And of course, it all starts off with Ira talking a little bit about himself, as he's known to do. And when Lee's finished with Ira, then I'm going to take him one-on-one. We're going to hit on some other topics, some different things out of a broader look at camp. So we got a different look today, but a lot of fun, plenty of Ira. But first we want to remind you to go to the store and buy Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Big Storm Beer, locally brewed, right there in Clearwater, Odessa. They've been around for years here. They do great work in the community. And Big Storm Beer, four locations: Odessa, Clearwater, the big flagship location with live music on the weekend, and great food at all locations. Amway Center in Orlando and down in Cape Coral. That's our home for watch parties all season long at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. We'll probably hit some other locations this year as well. So many great beers. The Bromosa, their great Tangerine IPA, Wavemaker Amber Ale, the original, Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale, Sunny Key Lime. The list goes on. Go to BigStormBrewery.com. Now we're going to go to Ira and Lee. And then when they're done, I'm going to be taking on Ira to the mat, and we'll go the distance on some other stuff. And still another podcast coming this week, which will also be a little bit different. Enjoy.
Got some compliments being down 10 pounds over there.
Yeah, Lee. Where'd he go, Ira?
And we had some national guys. Prickly Pete, your favorite.
Prickly Pete Briscoe,
CBS Sports, right? Yeah. Based in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. He's on the Tony Boselli bandwagon. He will be until Boselli gets that gold jacket, which I told him when I first came out here and saw him in the parking lot, Lee. I said, "Your man, I'll give you $100 a year from now if Boselli is not wearing a gold jacket."
Because
he's getting in next year. It's going to be a cleanup year. Mm-hmm. I don't think any first-year guys are getting in. So now you clean up the guys that are close, and mm-hmm. Boselli's close. And then we had Sal Pal, 27 years, ESPN. Beautiful thing, Sal Pal. And I believe he's playing tennis with J.P. Peterson tomorrow.
Wow, I know they're
Palma
close.
Sia. Yeah. So, look, the Bucks are now a national team. They're not quite the Dallas Cowboys, but they're right there. And Lee, how many times have we said on this podcast for the last 14 months since Brady came aboard, the Bucks usually lead off the national telecast? The Kay Adams, the Get Up, they can't talk about the Bucks enough. Yeah. And here we are, mandatory minicamp. Good to see the boys running around this field.
Yeah, it's good to see Brady out there. First off, Boselli, he sort of reminds me like Gale Sayers. He had an abbreviated career because of injuries, but when he did play, he was dominant.
And Lee, if Boselli gets in, which I think he will for the class of 2022, the first guy he should thank above Tom Coughlin and any of his teammates is Terrell Davis. Because Terrell Davis getting in on really four or five outstanding years and a fabulous postseason with the Broncos opened the door for the guys like Tony Boselli, who arguably was the best left tackle in football for four or five years.
Yeah.
And to me, if you are the best of the best over four or five years in the NFL, That seems like an eternity. To me, that's a Hall of Fame.
Interesting.
But you got to be at the top.
Yeah.
Sully was at the top.
Yeah, he was a dominant left tackle. Now, before we get rolling, I think apologies are in order for you.
Oh, I love that.
I'm sincere about this. Now, our last podcast, and maybe I took it completely wrong. You know, you kind of said, I don't know about this young secondary, and myself and Steve were like, what are you talking about? They just held Mahomes without a touchdown. Are you crazy? Give me harsh. I mean, you reminded me of one of my English professors in college. The guy would ding you 5 points just for using a comma.
What was his name? Was it Isbitz? Was it Dr. Isbitz?
No. Well, Isbitz is not like this guy. Isbitz likes commas. This guy hated commas. I mean, he just said commas are like John Ford used to say about dialogue in movies. This guy would say the same thing about commas. They're way overused.
All right, here's
my apology.
Go ahead.
Did you mean to insinuate that you would like to have, even if a backup, a veteran in the secondary, so these guys don't start reading their paper clippings, their newspaper clippings, think they've got it figured out, and all of a sudden they're caught with their pants down?
Well, I don't think that would be a bad idea. Lee, you've been talking about that for a couple of years, that a spot where they could use a veteran is the secondary, where they don't really have one.
Okay.
I mean, they don't really have one.
No.
You got Bunting, you got Dean, you got Mike Edwards, you got Davis, you got Whitehead, you got Winfield, a savvy veteran, you know, that's been there before. Now, they came a long way last year, Lee. The point I was trying to make, Lee, and I'm sticking with it, but I'll say it up front. You can say this about 26 or 28 secondaries in the National Football League. With rare exception, if they don't have a strong pass rush, they're going to get exploited.
Yeah.
And so that was my main point, that the story of the Super Bowl, and you agreed, was Mahomes running for his life.
Oh, no question about it.
No question.
No question about it.
And I think as outstanding as Bowles is, and he's outstanding as a D coordinator, jury's out on him as a head coach, certainly. But I thought he got too much credit in terms of, they changed up a lot of their coverages and they did this and they confused Mahomes. That wasn't the story, Lee. The story was five Chief guys couldn't block four Buck guys. That was the story. Whether you want to jump on Reed for not making adjustments, I don't think it would have mattered, Lee. The Buck pass rush was going to win that game. And if a quarterback's running for his life, Lee, an average secondary, and I think the Buck secondary is above average, but it's not elite.
No, didn't have a Deion Sanders yet or something like that.
That's right, Patrick Peterson in his prime. So I'm not knocking the Buck secondary, but that's not the reason they won that Super Bowl. That's not.
What did you make of practice overall? Observations, maybe a feeling?
Well, I'm going to speak for Buck Nation here, Lee. I hold my breath every time Brady drops back. Now, this is minicamp, and nobody's trying to put Brady on his derriere, on his gluteus maximus, Lee. So you don't have that factor. You don't have that factor. But, you know, he's coming off, you know, off-season procedure. Lee, we don't know if it's a cleanup or anything more than that. We're not quite sure.
Serious?
Conflicting reports about this.
Brady said it was serious when he was on a Watch podcast, and let that sink in, a Watch podcast. When he was on a Watch podcast, he called it serious. Arian said it was a cleanup, and I've just come to the conclusion that if you're the one that goes under the knife, it's serious.
You know, and I think you'd agree with me, Lee. You had a bird's eye view. You were sitting in that nice chair. You had a perfect look. And they were using both fields, but you had a good look when the starters were coming at you. And, Lee, I think you'd agree with me. Buck fans were not allowed to come here. I think they will be at training camp. That's the good news. They will be at training camp. Maybe not in droves, but a certain percentage will be out here. And so you know that some of the classic Buck fans will make an appearance. But, Lee, what I was looking for, and I think you'd agree where they passed the test, they passed the enthusiasm test.
Gronk sure did, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of loafing, and that's why one of my two questions to Coach Arians afterwards was about complacency. It's always going to be hanging over this team's head until they answer it and the season starts and you see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the natural question, Lee. It's not the question just for the 2021 Bucks. It's for every team that wins it all, any championship in any sport, Lee. How are they going to come back the next season in terms of hunger? And that's why I asked Arians, are you going to be on top of that? And he believes, Lee, I think with some justification, that the locker room will police itself.
Yeah.
And if it does, that's the best of all worlds.
He specifically said Brady.
He asked Brady.
He goes, Brady will take care of the offense.
You know,
I didn't hear his answer about the defense, but he said, Brady will take care of the offense.
And there's the Brady effect again, Lee.
Yeah.
You know, not just winning the Super Bowl, but coming back because he has done it again. Mm-hmm. He knows what it's like. Mm-hmm. And very few people have done it again. And
he's the only one still in the league, right? That's him repeated?
I believe that's right. Yeah, I believe that's right.
So he knows, and of course, he's an intense guy.
He's tried other times, and his team's come up a little short.
Now, when they had the near-perfect season, and they lost by 3 to the Giants in the Super Bowl, was that a repeat as well, or a potential repeat or not? I can't remember.
That was not. No. That was not. That leads me right into the next category. What's Brady got to play for? What's he shooting for? Well, you could say, well, if the Bucs win it again, he could go for a three-peat in 2022, which has never been done, but they got to win it again.
Yeah.
But Lee, you know, and Arians looked at me cockeyed when I brought it up, and he goes, Ira, can't we just win the damn division? And I brought up the perfect season. People are talking about it.
Sure they are.
I mean, even, you know, they're throwing it out at Mahomes. And I think the Bucs have better personnel than the Chiefs.
Better wide receiver core.
All around. Much better defense, I think, the Bucs have. And so it's out there, Lee. Brady came damn as close as you can come. 18-0, looking for 19-0. But Lee, if he goes 20-0, which is a 17-game regular season, and if you go 17-0, you're only going to play 3 postseason games, mm-hmm. maximum. You're not going to have to play that first week. You would think there wouldn't be another team that goes 17-0, so you think they get the first seed.
Wouldn't that be something?
Wow. So 20-0, you know, now Brady's not going to want to talk about it, Lee. Arians doesn't want to talk about it. Who does? But I thought the tempo was very good, and I don't expect that to change when training camp rolls around.
It seemed like a crisp practice.
Absolutely.
And boom, 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 boom.
And I love the idea of using the two fields, Lee. I think other teams should adopt it.
All 4 quarterbacks got a whole lot of throws in. Gabbert would have like 10 throws, then Brady and Gabbert. And the same with the secondary field. It was Trask and it was Ryan Griffin. And I focused on the first team, first and second team. Now, you were saying you were hoping Brady didn't get hit. There was one time he got run into. There was a pass rush. He got run into, and I have to admit, my heart skipped a beat. Like, whoa.
Man.
And as innocent as can be.
Even if you just brush him.
Yeah, he got run into, but it wasn't like they were trying to sack him.
Now,
or
Lee, if your heart skipped a beat, can you imagine about the person that almost ran into him?
Yeah, he hollered, like, whoa, like that. You know, he knew right away.
Had a good day, Lee.
I could not tell who it was.
Here's a memo to whoever it was. Don't let that happen again. Lee, I thought the receivers had a good day. I thought the receivers made some nice catches. Gronk made a few nice catches.
Godwin,
yeah.
Godwin had a pass where Brady threw to the left sideline. It looked like it was in goal line drill or red zone drill. That's what it looked like. And he flipped a pass to Godwin on the left sideline. Beautiful toe tap to get his feet in bounds. Beautiful. I mean, it's textbook.
Lee, as far as the targets are concerned, really, I don't think you can overstate this. 2019, Brady's playing for the Pats, and, you know, as great as Belichick is, and he's fabulous, you know, and he's going into the Hall as soon as he's eligible, and he should. And if he sticks around long enough, he'll have more wins than he'll break Shula's record, if he wants to. Might take 3 or 4 years, but he'll break it. But Lee, he failed Brady in 2019. He failed him. He didn't have targets. He just didn't have it, and Gronk was retired. And he didn't have the wideouts, and he didn't have the tight end. And it showed. Instead of averaging 27 points, I think they averaged 20. That's a big drop, Lee. And, you know, in the playoffs, they flamed out. And I think they lost to Miami at the end of the regular season.
Yes.
And that was a game that determined, you know, where they were going to be in the playoff seeding. And normally the Patriots don't lose a game like that.
Yeah,
they don't.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
They did. Fitzpatrick got him, I think, that day. I think it was,
yeah, you're right,
it
you're
was
right.
Fitzpatrick.
And then the Titans got him, did they?
And then they couldn't stop Derrick Henry. Yeah, but so, Lee, you go from 2019, you're Tom Brady, and last year was a huge bump up. And now, you know, Antonio Brown's going to be better. Lee, he's going to be better, and he's going to be healthy in a couple of weeks. And Scotty Miller's coming on, and I think Tyler Johnson's a player, and we know about Evans and Godwin, and O.J. Howard's here. And Lee, it's an embarrassment of riches. It really is in terms of targets, especially what Brady was used to coming out of New England 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a difference.
Oh, my gosh. Night and day difference. And now I know some people are wanting to know about Joe Tryon. Had there been pads on, Joe Tryon would have had a sack on Gabbert.
You know, Arian said he liked him. Now, some of that could be hyperbole.
Sure.
But you saw some things out of Joe Tryon.
You know, I was focused on Gabbert one time, and had there been, you know, just for people who don't realize this or maybe they forget about it, it's literally flag football. The guys are wearing shorts. There's no shoulder pads. They're wearing their practice jerseys. It says practice jerseys and shorts. They do wear their helmets, but there's no hitting of any sort. So if there's a pass rush, I mean, there's not much an offensive lineman can do. They work on footwork. So when you say someone got a sack, it's in quotation marks. You know, they got a sack. But Joe Tryon did get to Gabbert. It would have been a sack had there been referees and hitting, but, you know, they let it play through and Gabbert got rid of a pass.
You know, here's what I'm very interested in terms of Joe Tryon, Lee. And I say this almost about almost any rookie who's known to be a pass rusher. I want to know what's in his bag of tricks. What's in there? We've been through the Daquan Bowers of the world. We've been through it.
The guy
looks great, you know, in college. But now you're not in college. And you're going up against professional tackles, the best of the best. And, if all you got is that speed rush, which everybody has coming out of college, it's not enough. Yeah. It's not enough. And that's where Shaq Barrett, where Arians uses that great word, slippery. The guy's slippery. And he's got a lot of moves, yeah. Barrett. So, you know, he gets you off balance. You don't know what he's going to do. Mm. The speed rush by itself, Lee, doesn't work. So I want to see what Tryon's got. And I'm not trying to project Tryon as another Daquan Bowers. That's not fair.
No.
That's not fair.
Nor is it fair to say he's next JPP.
But hanging around Barrett and JPP, that don't hurt.
No.
That don't hurt.
Can't hurt at all. I don't know if you noticed it, but there was several of your favorite plays. Screen passes to Giovanni Bernard.
I love it, Lee. I love it.
Now, there was one particular screen pass, and this might rub people the wrong way. There was one particular screen pass. Gabbert took like two steps. It was like a very short rollout. He took two or three steps to the right, and his target was Giovanni Bernard, and JPP got his right hand on the ball. Now, normally we'd say he got his right hand on the ball. With JPP, he got half a hand on the ball. He almost picked it off. I don't think I've ever seen a screen pass picked off with that close. JPP actually reached back for the ball. That's how much pressure JPP got on the play. He had to reach back for the ball, and he got his hand on it.
You know, that's a great intangible that JPP brings with his size and his athleticism. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the guy knocks down one ball a game. And that, you know, that adds up.
Didn't he have one on Mahomes early in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I mean, breaking up screen passes like that. And, Lee, I don't want to open a can of worms because you and I have gone at it about Bernard. But I want to be very specific. Having Bernard on the team, Lee, he's got a specific role. He's my third and five guy, and that's the way I look at
Bernard.
That's
another tool in the toolbox, right?
I wouldn't be surprised, Lee, if he gets less than 25 carries in 17 games. It wouldn't surprise me because he's got two studs ahead of him. And by the way, Lee, I asked a few people, Buck observers, who should get the bulk of the carries, Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette? I asked three people. Mm. Lee, you know what the scoreboard is? 3-0. You know what it's in favor
Ronald
of?
Ronald Jones?
Leonard Fournette.
Oh, is that right?
The quote was, you got to go with the hot hand.
I agree with that.
That's interesting. It's a good debate.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think once on a podcast a few weeks ago, I said, if I was Arians, I would tell Rojo and Leonard Fournette, you guys will determine who gets the carries. I won't. You will. Hot hand, in other words.
Would you split it up, Lee? Would you give them each 12 during the season? Does that work? Are you keeping both guys happy, or you got two pissed off players?
You know, you just mentioned something. You got to keep them happy. That's very. I didn't think of that. That's a very
engaged.
Very,
engaged.
Engaged is another good word. You may have to, but I'm inclined to hot hand. You know, those guys will tell me by their play who will get fed more. It could be Fournette. It could be Ronald Jones. Whoever's having a better day.
It's a hell of a lot easier problem than not having a back.
No kidding. Wait.
I mean, 3 years ago, they couldn't run the ball, right?
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of Leonard Fournette today? I've got an answer, but I want to hear your observation.
I'm going to listen to you on that. I didn't focus on him too much. What do you got?
Well, you know he had a different number, right?
Yeah.
He's wearing number 7. He looks smaller with number 7. That's what I thought. He looks smaller with number 7.
Did he catch any balls, Lee, that you noticed?
I don't remember. I took fairly good notes, but I don't remember him catching a ball. It doesn't jump out at me. What did jump out at me was JPP's play. What jumped out at me was Godwin. Looked like he was in mid-season form. Mike Edwards, Brady tried to a bomb to Mike Evans down the right sideline. Edwards was covering him, and I thought it was good coverage at first. Actually, I'm mixing up two plays. It was a bomb to Evans down the right sideline. And it was Carlton Davis who squeezed him on the sideline, which is a smart play by defensive back. And initially it looked like it was an overthrow, but I think that Carlton Davis squeezed him. So it was not a catch. Another play, a pass play, where Mike Edwards was involved. Brady was throwing to Cam Brate in the right corner of the end zone. Mike Edwards is on top of him. Brate laid out, tried to get the ball. He couldn't come up with it. But there should have been a flag on the play. There was no referees. He had a fistful of jersey, Mike Edwards did. It almost looked like he pulled Brate down. So that would have been a flag.
You know, Edwards is interesting, Lee. Here's why he's interesting. And I think I've even heard Buck coaches acknowledge this, which normally coaches don't say this kind of thing. But there's a feeling, Coach Rapone, and maybe even Bowles, that of the safeties, which includes Winfield and Whitehead, Edwards might be the best coverage safety. Now, his problems in Tampa were that he took terrible angles as a run defender early, and they couldn't get him on. They couldn't put him on the field.
Yeah,
if you don't play run defense for Bowles, you know even in secondary, you're not going
to
play.
Rams game springs to mind.
Yeah, but he's improved in that regard. But he's got ball skills, Lee, and he flashes them.
Last year, I was at virtually every training camp practice. And he was playing with the first-team defense. This is before they announced Antoine Winfield would start. And based on the snaps he was getting with the first-team defense, and he was playing well, I thought he was going to get the starting nod. Now, that didn't happen, of course. You know, the Green Bay game when he, you know, the Bucs didn't have Winfield, and then they lost Whitehead early in the third quarter, if I remember correctly. So Mike Edwards had to step up, and he did step up. He played good ball. So
could there be times when they play three safeties?
I wouldn't be surprised. Why not? I mean, if you can get away
with
it.
And then all of a sudden, Winfield could be a blitzer at that point.
You know what? Steve was the first guy to mention this. It may have been the second or third week. Boy, he looks like Rondé Barber in blitzes. He really
does.
That's
very interesting.
He really
kind of the same shape, too, you know?
Similar build.
Rondé had a knack.
Oh, my gosh, he had a knack.
Bucks fans, now's a great time to remember Florida's Elite Restoration is the company to call if you have any kind of disaster in your home this summer. Maybe it's a flood, wind damage, mold. Huge problem in Florida. Mold. The Florida's Elite Restoration is a licensed mold remediation specialist. They're not just some mold guy or some company that handles mold. They will get it right the first time. And the best part about Florida's Elite Restoration, aside from being a locally owned, family-owned company that we know well, that Ira knows well, Florida's Elite Restoration is going to give you a free assessment when you call them 24/7. They'll come out to your home with all the latest technology and let you know what's happening in your home, and they will help you navigate with your insurance company if that's what you need. And they're honest, and that is exactly what you need when you've got a disaster, because there are a lot of ripoff artists out there. Florida's Elite Restoration. Remember the name, write it down, put it in your bookmarks, floridaseliterestoration.com. When the moment arises, you will be protected by the best, floridaseliterestoration.com. Don't forget.
What else did I remember in practice today? Gronk, the enthusiasm this guy brings. He had a couple of really nice catches. One was Gabbert, one was Brady, where they threaded the needle to Gronk, and they were very similar plays. They were down the right hash marks. And the nanosecond, Gronk had the ball in his hands, even though it was tight coverage, you could hear him, woo, 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 woo.
You know,
he's just having fun, man.
There's no way that Gronk's attitude doesn't rub off on people. You got to be a mummy to be immune to this guy. Lee, you and I have been on a lot of Zoom calls with Gronk. Hopefully, we'll talk to him on the field this year, hopefully. But Lee, have you ever, and you saw him a lot in New England, you ever seen the guy in a bad mood? You ever seen
Rarely.
The guy that doesn't have enthusiasm for what he's doing? Incredible. Incredible.
He's having fun. And I think a clubhouse or a locker room needs those kind of guys once in a while. You know, they'll lighten things up so it's not dead serious all the time.
What'd you think, Lee? And I threw out the question just to get his answer. But we have contract news with Jason Light.
Thank you for asking that question to Arians.
And Bruce Arians. Lee, it's a reward for a job well done. And I've said it before, Lee, and you tried to straighten me out in years past, but coaching matters.
Oh,
staff
yeah.
matters. And for me, it's very personal because some of those picks that I jumped on Jason Light. Now, he's still got to take the responsibility for the kicker fiasco. He does. That's on him, and he finally found Suckup.
But he wasn't alone in that.
And
yeah,
he wasn't alone. And maybe Gay's, you know, I'm not closing the book on Matt Gay. He might be decent. He might be. We'll see.
Arians knew they needed a kicker now. They couldn't wait for a year
he's
or two.
He's still in the league, and yeah, so we'll Rams. See. Uh-huh. But, Lee, I got to say it again. You know, and I always use the Ronald Joneses. Vita Vea looks like a good draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
Devin White, you know, and I agreed with you about the pass rusher, but White was, you can't knock the pick.
Absolutely not.
And coaching comes into it. Lee and Cutter, say what you want, nice guy, didn't have a very good staff, Lee.
He did not.
And they didn't develop the young players. And so in that regard, Light's draft picks look a lot better. They do. What do you think about taking care of Arians and Light?
I thought it was smart, but I thought it was interesting. Now, I want to make sure that I'm quoting Arians correctly here. Did you hear the same thing I heard? It meant the world to Arians, it meant the world to me. And then next sentence, he said it was unnecessary.
He did say that. Yeah.
When's the last time you heard a guy get a raise? That's unnecessary.
Yeah. It was. And Light gets his extension, Lee. Light gets his extension.
Deservedly so.
You know, you and I have said this before. And, you know, this is not behind-the-scenes gossip or anything, but, Lee, if you had to bet, you would think, when Brady goes, and who the hell knows when that is, that's when Arians will go.
I think so.
I don't think that got to be a rocket scientist to say that.
Would it shock you to know that both Arians' contract and Brady's contract expire at the same time?
No, it would not. Now, Light can stay on, because Light's not, necessarily hooked. I just can't see Arians starting with Kyle Trask or somebody else. It's hard. Once you've had Brady, Lee, once you've been around Brady. And then Arians' wife's going to be all over him, you know, give it up or whatever. and she said that
when
now.
When are you going to retire?
You know, but if I get to coach Tom Brady, I'm sticking around, Lee.
Yeah.
I'm sticking around.
I almost wonder, you would know this more than anybody because your sources are impeccable, and I know who your sources are. I would be really surprised if part of this deal, you know, they still haven't publicized any specifics.
That's right.
I would not be surprised if already it's happening, and it may have been going on for a month or so, if there's some kind of talk or negotiations of having a transition of power at some point that Arians will hand off to Leftwich. Or Arians will hand off to Bowles, or there's going to be some kind of coaching waiting, some kind of transition.
I don't think Arians would be against that, Lee. I think he'd be very much for it. In fact, he could be at the forefront of such a procedure.
That way Leftwich stays with Trask.
Yeah, you know, Arians is very genuine about promoting his guys.
Yeah.
And Lee, how many times have you heard Arians say this, and I believe him, that if he couldn't get these coaches... I don't know about everyone, but if he couldn't get the bulk of these coaches, he wouldn't have taken the job.
Yeah, he said it several times.
He said it several times.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's led by Leftwich and Bowles, or Bowles and Leftwich, whoever you want to put it. But he's very genuine, and I think he sees that as part of his legacy. And it's a hell of a legacy. Two-time coach of the year. He's already won one Super Bowl. He might be building a Hall of Fame resume.
Well,
like, I don't think he's there yet.
Yeah, we both spoke. If he wins another Super Bowl, he's probably going to get in.
You know, and then you got, if Tom Coughlin wants to get in, then what are you going to do? Bar Bruce Arians from getting in? So,
well, Flory's gone in basically on the back of two Super Bowl wins.
And he had a terrible time in Seattle.
Yeah,
Flory's and Arians doesn't have anything like that on his resume because he was successful in Arizona.
Yeah.
He was pretty darn successful. Lee, overall... Did you think guys were just going through the paces?
I don't think they were going through the paces at all. We spoke about Gronkowski's enthusiasm, and we both think that's contagious. I noticed Brate, and it always happens when the media, video, and photography window is open. It's always special teams. Rarely are they having an 11-on-11 or a 9-on-9 when you're allowed to video or allowed to shoot photos. It's always the special teams. Then the window closes, and then they go to their regular practice. That's just the NFL. During the special teams practices, during punts, Brate was not involved in the punt team, either one, punt return or punt. But he was standing around, and he was kind of clapping. He was offering encouragement to a couple guys who were involved in the punt and the punt return teams. So I thought that was interesting. Very first minicamp practice, Brate's out there clapping, giving guys encouragement. So I like the enthusiasm between him, Gronkowski, of course. just in case people are asking, Brady was wearing a wrap on his left knee. His black wrap. What else can we do? Joe Tryon was there.
Well, Lee, for me, personally, this was an important day for me because even though I was around the Bucks and, you know, we'd go to Big Storm for the road games and you'd be around Buck fans, but Zoom calls don't do it.
No, they don't.
They don't. They don't do it. So here we are watching practice, talking to Arians, not on a Zoom call. I got to see my peers out here. I talked to Sal Powell, who's on the Hall of Fame committee with me. Prickly Pete, you know, I always enjoy talking to him because he's so passionate and so sure of himself, Lee.
Confident.
But you know that going in. When you're going to talk to Prisco, you're not going to win an argument with Pete Prisco. You know, there's some guys like that. But he doesn't beat you over the head, you know. And so it was a good day for me. Many more to come. I'm looking forward to training camp. But, Lee, after Thursday, you know, you got the 6-7 weeks. It's a vacuum. You know, Arians is going back to the Georgia Lake and
and
Brady's probably going to Pebble Beach and you know and we're in Europe and whatever. But this is a hungry team, Lee. This is a hungry team, and you mentioned it, Brady. Brady. You know, maybe people are tired of us talking so much about Brady. You can't get around it, Lee. You just can't. There's nobody like him.
No, I was a little skeptical when the Bucks signed him, mainly because of his age.
He answered all your questions,
and then some.
And then some.
And oh, here's one that Pat Kerwin said yesterday on SiriusXM NFL
Radio. Kerwin knows his stuff.
They were talking about the new contracts for Arians and Light, and maybe you could shed some light on this, Ira. Kerwin rhetorically asked, I would like to know how much money Tom Brady has made people in Tampa.
What a question.
It's got to be a lot.
It's got to be a lot, you know.
Between players,
just
between
think ownership. About Arians. Just think about Arians. Lee, if Brady doesn't come and Phillip Rivers comes and, you know, let's say they go 9-7 and don't make the playoffs. Okay, they don't make the playoffs. They go 9-7 last year. The Glazers might have to think about firing Light. I mean, they might have to. They might have to. Another year without a playoff. Now we're talking about the drought. 13 years. I mean, that's a huge number.
Yeah, it is.
So just from a Jason Light perspective, and maybe Arians, you know, he goes 2 years, he doesn't make the playoffs. I mean, what's going on with Arians? We got a good team here. And I'm not saying they wouldn't have made the playoffs with Rivers, but they wouldn't have won at all with Rivers. And I'll say this about the Glazers, Lee, and you've noticed this over the years. If you get the job done, they don't have any problem about spending a lot of money.
I've heard that.
And rewarding you. They've never had that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many times they renewed Gruden. In fact, Roy and I were sitting at the 2003 season, the Super Bowl, which was the Panthers and the Patriots, a high-scoring game. Most people thought Carolina was going to get killed, but Jake Delhomme had a big game.
Yeah.
And I think it was 34, you know, 27 or something.
It was a crazy
like
second half.
Yeah, it was a crazy second half. And Roy and I, and the game was in Houston, and Roy and I are sitting in the press box watching the game for the Tribune, and I got the tip before the game. I was tipped off that Gruden got a contract extension. And this was just about the time that Bruce Allen, I guess, was coming in and being named the GM to replace McKay, who had already gone to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Gruden was under contract, Lee. His contract wasn't running out in 2003. He had just come in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
They reworked his contract. He got them a Super Bowl. They do that.
He was the golden boy for
they
a while.
They do that.
Yeah.
And, well, we got a couple of golden boys now.
Well, I know about boys, but I know what you're talking about, yeah.
You know, if Brady wants more money, the Glazers are going to say no, you know. And the beauty of it is that Brady's always thinking about what's best for the team that he's on.
That's what makes him remarkable.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I'm not trying to...
And he's not in the poorhouse, you know.
No.
We're not saying
that. I'm using this guy as an example. I'm not trying to denigrate him. Peyton Manning was never a guy to give himself a discount to help out the team. He was one of the highest paid players in the NFL. Brady surely is not one of the highest paid players in the NFL. And he probably took a little bit of a pay cut when they reworked his contract this offseason to help keep guys.
You call them, in essence, the most underpaid player in the league.
He may be.
You could argue it.
Yeah, with his impact, yes, you could.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry, Cynthia Freeland. It's not Mike Edwards. It's Tom Brady.
All right, Ira, I have taken the handoff from Lee, and I am not Dare Ogunbowale. I'm going to do something with it. We're going to have a little fun here as we unveil this new format, a one-time thing. But I know you like to split us up, Ira, sometimes, so you got your wish.
No question about it, Steve. I had the pleasure of Lee's company at Mandatory Minicamp. It's good to see him. He had a beach chair. Steve, floppy hat. You know, he looked like he could have been a Hollywood director. And I'm out there, you know, palling around with Sal Palantonio. I walked up to the PR director. Hey, Ira, what are you doing here? Hey, Nelson, I got to go to the bathroom. Where can I go? And I just said it on purpose, Steve, because he told me the day before. There are no bathroom facilities on campus. You got to go next door to Panera Bread. I said, you're kidding me. Steve, if nature would have called, they wouldn't have let me into the indoor facility. What's this world coming to, isn't it?
Well, Ira, that's what depends are for. But, Sage, I will say this. You know, hey, if Lee took his shirt off and had a bromosa, it would have been like a typical weekend. So, you know, we love Big Storm beer.
You would have freaked out Jenna Lane. End of story.
We love Big Storm beer. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for presenting the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he's waiting for you. We're going to be out there soon, Ira. I can't wait to announce that.
Wait a minute, Steve. Wait a minute. After that mandatory mini camp practice, and after we talked to Arians, Lee and I shuffled off to Bill Curry Ford. We went right up the road, Dale Mabry, a mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry. We split a Cuban sandwich. Lee was getting an oil change, and we tracked down Sean Sullivan. Steve, they're so busy over there. They are doing such business. Sean only gave us about 10 minutes, and he was busy selling cars, and I can't blame him, Steve.
Absolutely, Ira. All right, so look, Sage, one thing that you and Lee talked about that was worth a little deeper exploration, now that we have a little bit more information, or a little bit more lack of information, you could say, Tom Brady revealed that he had his knee injury roughly April or May before he even played the 2020 season. So shortly after he arrived into Derek Jeter's house. And this is a big deal being made by Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com because Brady never appeared on an injury report. And meanwhile, Brady's out there saying, I was injured all year and I knew I needed surgery. So this has come up before with other players in various ways. And you never know how the Bucks may be punished here. And they could be punished with draft picks. And I think what could be heightened, or at least a hefty fine, what could heighten the sensitivity of the NFL is all the new agreements and all the new blessings that the NFL have made with gambling. They've embraced it completely. And the number one thing that you want with your gambling partners is transparency when it comes to injuries. Do you think the NFL will dare to penalize the Bucks and Brady, their celebrated team right now, even though Roger Goodell has had a testy relationship with Brady through the years?
It's an interesting case, Steve. It's interesting. I think it's a nuanced case. And by that I mean, you know, Brady used the word injury, but was it really an injury in NFL terms? Because it wasn't stopping him from playing. It was constant, but it wasn't a factor on the field. It's a little nuanced. I understand that. Frankly, Steve, I'm kind of wondering why the Bucks didn't let him have the procedure in April. He would have been ready for training camp. I'm not quite sure, you know, did they take a gamble? How serious could it be if they didn't want him to have the procedure right away? I mean, knowing that he had six hard months ahead of him. So I don't think Goodell's throwing the book. Him and Brady have already crossed paths from a jurisdictional standpoint. We all remember what happened with the Deflategate situation. I don't think anything's going to happen, nor do I think anything should happen. But like most things, Brady, Steve, you find out things after the fact, and we find out again step over Tom Brady, and he wasn't sure what Brady was going to say about it. But Arians knew. Arians knew when the game ended, certainly. Brady wouldn't give us that much, Steve. He wouldn't give it to us. Wouldn't acknowledge it. Next subject, you know, change the subject. And now that nobody cares, and they got, you know, Super Bowl rings to fit on for size in a month, he admits that he screwed up. It's tough to get the real deal out of this guy sometimes.
Well, you made an interesting point of how serious could it have been if they didn't address it in May, right? Because here's Brady. He had the surgery. He said the other day he's 15 weeks outside and he seems just about ready to go. So let's say he needed 4 months to recover. If he had the surgery in May, he wouldn't have been ready until September. So maybe they didn't want to gamble on him missing all of training camp, but of course he could have taken mental reps, and it seems like Brady's been doing his own thing for a few weeks now. So it's very dicey, but Ira, I'll throw it out there this way in a way that's going to make you laugh. How serious could the injury have been when they found it if they went with Blaine Gabbert as their backup quarterback?
I can't get through a podcast without you mentioning that guy's name, Stevie. Now, wait a minute, Steve, refresh me for a second. When did Brady incur this injury?
Brady simply said that he had it in April of May of last year, that he knew it would require surgery. April, May last year. That's what he said. So that's April, May 2020. Let's just call it May 1st, since Tom doesn't know what month it is.
Steve, are we supposed to surmise from that he might have done it when he was going to Berkeley Prep?
It's very possible.
What are we supposed to think about this? I mean, if he had it after the season and he knew he was going to play for somebody in 2020, shouldn't he have had it in February of 2020? You know, right after the season? Like most things, Brady, there's always a shred of mystery around it, Steve. Always.
It's a mystery, Ira. Maybe the truth will come out at some point, probably. Maybe it'll even be in the big book that you were a part of that Lars Anderson is finishing off on Bruce Arians and the Super Bowl season, but we'll see. Always another thing that's interesting, Ira. Now, Ira, you and Lee talked about when you did address Arians on, you know, the locker room, keeping guys in line, and as far as focused on the task at hand, which is the bigger picture of no complacency. And Lee couldn't think of it, but it was Levante David who Arians said, and the only guy he mentioned as being the cop on the defensive side of the ball to keep guys in line. And I thought it was very impressive when David talked about this week not being a part of OTAs for the first time, but he requested the film from coaches and watched all the OTA film and had very firm opinions on how guys were playing. And, you know, that's just a leadership thing that I would venture to say. If I had to guess, I don't think there's more than one other guy on the Bucks defense that requested the OTA film and watched it all the way through.
That's an important point to reinforce. I think this goes back to the day Arians arrived in Tampa after that one-year gig, with CBS in the booth. He looked around. He looked at this defense. And, of course, Devin White was a rookie at that time. And when he came in, he didn't even have Devin White, you know, until that draft 3 months later. And he looked around and, you know, he said, this is my guy. Levante David's my guy. And from that moment, he charged David with being more of a vocal leader, taking on more responsibility as the man on that side of the ball. And we didn't necessarily, Steve, think of Levante David in those terms those first 5-6 years in Tampa. We knew he was a heck of a football player. But he wasn't very vocal. You know, Arians, he saw past that. And he said, this is the guy. When I sat down with Arians in his house a couple of months ago, he said, I get my clues and my ideas about the mood of this football team by listening to Levante David. I mean, that's a heck of a testimonial. Stevie's surrounded by veterans like Sue and JPP. Yet, for Arians' purposes, Steve, clearly, it's Levante David. And I think he's grown very nicely into the role. It now seems a natural fit for this guy. And we know what kind of impact lefties had on Devin White. Devin White, I think, be lost a little bit without him, at least for a while. And now he doesn't have to be, because Levante David's back. And this leadership quality, I think it's a significant reason why the Bucks re-signed him for two more years when he's at an age, Steve, when other teams all over this league let 30-year-old linebackers, even good ones, let them test free agency. If they go, they go. And the Bucks weren't going to do it with Levante David. Boy, what a quality individual, quality player. We talked about Hall of Fame, Steve. I'm not even going to discuss it. Let the guy make some more pro teams, which he's capable of doing. But he is the defensive leader. Devin White's going to have his day, but that day's not here. It's not here yet.
David has evolved into that role, and, you know, I mean, he was trying before, and Gerald McCoy was there, and of course, you know, it's hard to feel like somebody's a leader from where we are on the outside when the team kind of stinks, you know, over and over and over again. It's like, you know, and as a player, I don't think you'd even want to feel like a leader when you're just losing every year. And David, you know, this offseason even made some rumbles that, hey, you know, he had thought of maybe moving on and what life would be like elsewhere. But it is a big part of what's happening. I think it's become very clear from Arians. He knows he has multiple leaders on defense, but David is now standing above them all. And Ira, you know, the mandatory minicamp, a lot of fun to just experience football again and know that it's 6 weeks away from training camp now. But the overarching thing is about this complacency. How do they fight it off? And I got to ask you from your experience, Ira, and forget about 2003. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. Different time, different team,
right,
different situation.
Right.
But how does Arians manage this to get this team not to be over-focused, not to be put pressing too much? And, you know, because no one's going to just keep the gas on for 20 games. It's almost impossible to do to the extreme. Like, how does he keep these guys fresh? I think so far he's pushed all the right buttons where everybody feels like, hey, a coach is behind us. He gave us all this time off. Mike Evans comes back, says, I feel better than ever. Everything's fresh. We felt fresh out there. And I thought it was interesting that Arians said, well, gosh, we finished practice so early because the tempo was so good. They finished the whole schedule. I almost feel like Arians planned that because from what I heard, I was not out there, but from what I heard, they weren't necessarily running some incredible, never seen before tempo. So, you know, I think he's just sort of pushing the right buttons to get these guys feeling like we can take a lot of time off and still be extra efficient when we get to practice. I don't know. How does he make this work, Ira?
He's going to rely on number 12, smart man. Anytime you want to rely on number 12, you're doing a smart thing in terms of a team concept. I mean, Brady has nothing to prove, nothing to prove in terms of his attention to detail, how he interacts with everybody on this football team, everybody, and how the respect that he commands. And he's going to rely on Levante David on the other side of the ball. He's already told us that. And, Steve, if you can do it, now I don't think there's a lot of ifs about the Brady side, because who's the last quarterback to do it, Steve? Tom Brady. It's not a coincidence. That's how he's going to do it, Steve, because Arians realizes that's the ideal. If you can hear it from your peers, it's got more impact than hearing it from your elderly coach. Steve, there's something about hearing it from the guys that you go to work with, the lunch pail guys, and Brady's one of them, that I think has a chance to keep this team in line. I think there's a chance that if it's coming from the coaching staff, even though Arians has this reputation, Steve, happy-go-lucky, he's not a martinet like Belichick, but I think it could be overbearing. And Bowles is not cut out to be like that either, by the way, nor is Leftwich. You know, these are not military figures over there that are going to command, you know, attention. They're just not. If it comes from Brady, especially, that I think is the secret weapon, Steve, in this whole complacency thing, is Brady. I mean,
I got you, Ira. And I think on that note, worth mentioning was Devin White this week, was asked about Brady and barking at the defense and getting guys fired up and setting a tone for this season. And Devin White said, Brady's been very, very quiet. Very, very quiet in minicamp. And, you know, he's always setting an example by how he behaves. But so far, as far as verbally, very quiet. And I think that's calculated by Brady, who
I do too, Matt. And Steve, he sees all. We have to get that down. Nothing gets out of this guy's grasp. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's aware of what's going on the other field. Steve, he talks to everybody. He watches film with everybody. He goes into the defense room and, you know, tells Sean Murphy Bunting that, you know, his technique's got to be better in this situation. I mean, well, what an advantage for the Bucs to have. If they didn't have anybody, if they didn't have somebody like Brady, Steve, you know, you would think their chances of repeating would be remote.
And I'll say this, Ira, and I know it's heresy, it's hard for me to even spit the words out, but I think with the way Arians has to manage this team and get their heads right, and not that their heads are on wrong, but just to fight and beat off complacency, one of the best things to stop complacency from a championship team is a loss. And we don't want to think about or consider an early loss, but when I think about the opening game against Dallas, and I think about how all the different ways that Arians is going to manage this summer, if they win the game, which of course we're hoping they win, it's a perfect situation because everybody feels, okay, Arians managed it just right, and now you've got the mini bye, and you can tweak some things and push the guys harder if you need to, or give more guys time off, and Arians can massage it. But if you lose to Dallas, then all of a sudden, the complacency bug is completely wiped off the map. No one's going to think complacency ever again this season. You can start clean slate, and he's almost has like an instant shot of forget last year. I'm not rooting for them to lose, but I see that they can't lose on opening night.
You know, that's interesting, Steve. There's nothing that gets your attention like a defeat. And I'll use this as an example, even though they were not a defending champion. But the 0-2 Bucks, Steve, you know, Gruden comes in, all this attention, they pay a king's ransom for him. He drives them unmercifully during training camp. He brings in 20, 25 new players, totally new offense, smart enough not to mess with Monty Kiffin's guys. And Steve, they open at home to a division rival, the first year of realignment, Steve, I believe, 0-2, first year. And they lose to the Saints in bizarre fashion. I think it was, Steve, wasn't it a punt out of the end zone? And the snap went awry, and the guy ended up throwing a ball, and that's how they lost the game. And they go to next week on the road, Steve. I believe they went to Baltimore, which is not a terrible team, and they creamed them. And, you know, Brooks started his campaign for Defensive Player of the Year at a pick six, and I think they beat him 35-7 or something. That got that team's attention, Steve. Now, they weren't coming off a Super Bowl. I understand that. And none of us, you know, want an early loss because, Steve, I'm the guy that's talking about 20-0. And people think I'm nuts, but I don't think I am because I think it's in Brady's mind, Steve. And why wouldn't it be, Steve? Well, why shouldn't it be in Brady's mind?
Absolutely. And let me throw this at you, Sage. And this is an out-of-the-box thought. It needs your wisdom. It needs your dynamic brain as you sit there and drive your Bill Curry Ford 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape as you have in your cell phone, in your contacts, Florida's Elite Restoration, calling Josh there if you have any problem in your home in that treasured castle of yours, if you've got some mold. And of course, you're sitting there with your Big Storm beer right now. Ira, I got to ask you this. We've heard all through minicamp about how we got to forget last year, got to forget last year, got to forget, got to wipe it out. Didn't happen. And then isn't it a little ironic that they're going to have a Super Bowl ring ceremony, a big private affair, which is probably going to be incredible for the team 2 days before training camp? That's kind of, it sort of doesn't jive there. I mean, you would think they could have had the rings ready earlier, or do it in a different way. I don't know, Ira. It feels I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe they could have done it tonight, had the rings ready after mini camp and had a big party. And I don't know. It just seems a little bit odd. And to me, maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're onto something. Now, look, you know, it's not a calamity. It's not a big mistake or anything. But if they could have had the rings, you know, June 10th, I think that would have made more sense in terms of burying the 2020 season. I'm kind of with you on that. When you do it a couple of days before training camp, and then you're going to make this big speech, and Arian's going to get up in front of everybody and say, this team ain't done nothing. You know, we're a whole new team and this and that. I'm with you. It's kind of weird. Now, we don't know the logistics of making this up. Apparently, this is quite the ring. Very unique. I believe Darcy Glazer's had a hand in this thing.
She did. She did. And, of course, the Glazers have quite the bank account to have accelerated the production of all this. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But that was the vision I had, Ira, is Arian's getting up 2 days after that ring ceremony on a Saturday morning saying, you guys ain't done shit. The Super Bowl doesn't exist. Meanwhile, they're all sloppy drunk two nights before, and half of them are wearing their ring to practice, you know, or something, you know.
And, Steve, that thing you said a minute ago, which is right, you know, we got to forget about last year. Steve, you got to remember one thing. It all sounds great. It all sounds great. But, Steve, you know and I know that 16 teams in a row, 16, said the same thing. And it didn't work in terms of winning the Super Bowl. Now, some of them got back to the Super Bowl. And, Steve, I did a little research. Steve, you like when I do my research. None of those 16 teams since the 04 Patriots, none of them had a losing record the year after. None of them. But five of them didn't make the playoffs, Steve. That's almost a third. Three went back to the Super Bowl. But, Steve, my point is, you know, everybody talks a good game. You know, this team's done nothing. It's a new team. But that hasn't worked for the past 16 years.
I got you, Ira. Well, you know what? I'm not pushing my luck. You agreed with me. You agreed with me on the ring situation. So I'm taking my cue. Ira, we'll be back with another podcast this week, number two of this week. Keep being the sage, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Stevie.